Good morning, church. Let me first apologize for breaking the BC Health protocol. I have had sore throat since last week, and I find that it is very difficult for me to preach three services with the mask on. And BC Health has assured me sore throat is not a symptom of COVID many times. So I'll preach, I'll lock myself in this room and to preach to you. Let's pray first. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us all here to worship you. With your word, we learn, we live, and we also die by it. Because this is your word that make a new life in us. And let us treasure it, and then we'll treasure it so much that we live every day of our life according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me show you a few pictures before my sermon begins. The first one is the most famous painting of Ezra. Now, we can see that Ezra was sitting there. He was copying Bibles. We can see that if we are familiar with the Bible, or if we spend enough time in the church, we would have learned the career of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. So most of the artwork that you can see him, he was copying the Bible. Then what is a scribe? And what's the work of a scribe? When we heard of the title scribe, we cannot help but to think that Pharisees and scribes, who are the objects of criticisms of Jesus' time, just like Matthew 23:2 or Luke 20:46, they say the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. They shouldn't, but they sit in the chairs of Moses to judge people. And then beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love personal greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquet. But let us put aside our impression of a scribe from the New Testament down for the moment. It is very likely the scribes actually inherited the noble identity from the rank of Ezra. Let us take a look who scribes were and what they do. Scribes were Bible copiers. Their job was to make copies of the law. They copied the law meticulously. Below is the steps they took to copy the law. Now, they could only use clean animal skins both to write on and even to bind manuscripts. Each column of writing could have no less than 40 inks and no more than 60 lines. Each column of writing could have, the ink must be black and is of special recipe. And then they must verbalize each word aloud while they were writing. So actually they read the Bible aloud when they are writing and reading. They must wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the word Yahweh. Every time they wrote it, Yahweh is the name of God. There must be a review within 30 days. Review means proofreading. And if as many as three places require corrections, the entire manuscript had to be redone. And then, the last, the letter, words, and paragraph has to be counted, and the document became invalid if two letters touch each other. The middle paragraph, word, and letter must correspond to those of the original documents. Now, the work of a scribe is solemn yet tedious, bordering on boring. Yet it is extremely important. After the Israelites were exiled, the work of the scribe became all the more important. And the most important of all, the word of God is holy. For this is the only way they can preserve their faith after the temple is gone and Jerusalem, the holy city, is no more. And the holy word is the only thing that binds the Israelites together. And Ezra is the product of such circumstances. Subsequent scribes have inherited the two important characteristics of Ezra. They are exceptionally familiar with the Word of God. After copying the law for so many times, it is probable they have memorized the Bible. Now, you have copied and read the Bible so many times, 8 hours a day, how can you not be familiar with the Bible? The external practice of copying can also become an internal exercise of devotion because they have to treat the Bible a holy object. So this is going to internalize into ourselves that the Word of God is holy. The Word of God is very important. The Word of God is going to impact my life. Through the Word of God, man can be transformed. For those who are chosen to do the copying, they were not only chosen for their beautiful calligraphy. We have to understand that they are not only chosen for their calligraphy. They were chosen for their spirituality too. Scribe came from a selected group of priests. This was how it all began. And Ezra was an exemplary figure. But after 400 years, personal quality turns into a privileged social class. Many scribes degenerated into socially noble, but personally ignoble. In the reality of bad money drives out good money, devoted and faithful scribes diminishes. Those who gain the social status were spiritually dry. They have lost their true love in God and has become a corpse with an elevated status. Let me digress. We Christians, especially Christians of high standing, scribes serve as a warning to our spirituality. Once we treasure the status as a leader, but not the content of a leader, we degenerate from the tradition of Ezra to the New Testament scribes. I say it also to myself as a pastor. Now, we return to our focus. Ezra, the devoted scribe. His vocation is to pass on the Word of God, teaching the Israelites the right way of the Word, so that the Israelites can follow closely and faithfully. We can summarize the task of the scribes from the book of Ezra as follows. This is what scribes do. To pass on the word of God from one generation to the next generations. Second, to pass the word of God faithfully without deviation. Three, to interpret the word of God by accurately handling the word of truth. Now, if we can understand Ezra and his work as such, we will begin to understand Ezra's vocation. We may want to ask, what is vocation here? I am not going to spend this time to give a lecture about the theology of vocation. I will use two verses to illustrate a simple meaning of vocation here. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, and with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, if we pay attention to the word with which you have been called, and then the next verse, Romans 2:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, pay attention to the word, to those who are called according to the gospel. Vocation is simply calling. God called us to a vocation. Vocation, simply put, God called us to follow him, to practice his command, and to be faithful in what we do to serve him. For some are called to be the priest. Some are called to be pastors. Some are called to serve God faithfully in his or her careers. Many years ago, in my church, a member told our senior pastors this: God calls you to be my pastor, and God called me to make money for the church. Now, he was a guy who made money as an investor. He was a wealthy man. Yet the car he drove and the house he lived was just very ordinary. He lived like any other members of the church. He did what he said. He gave what he earned to the church and other ministries without reservation. There were times we make a joke of, let's exchange identity. Let you be the pastor, and then I'll be making money. Yet, from the bottom of our hearts, we respect the guy for his faithfulness in his calling. He knows he was called to make money so that he can give. The money he made, he offered them without reservation. During the 80s and 90s, people from the San Francisco Bay Area began to exchange the American-made cars to European luxury brands like Mercedes and BMW. And the least, they won a Volvo. And he was still driving his Toyota. His house was an ordinary... His house was ordinary house in an ordinary neighborhood. And it didn't have a luxurious interior either. He knows his calling. And he follows obediently. This is what calling or vocation is all about. The point is not how much money he made. The important point is he followed God in his calling as he received it. Now we turn to the scripture for today. The bulk of it is a genealogy. It is difficult to tell the reasons of it at a glance. As we read along, coming to the end of the genealogy, from Ezra to his ancestor, we find the ultimate ancestor to be Aaron, the high priest. There went up Ezra, son of Sariah. And then there's a from bottom up kind of genealogy. So at the end is son of Aaron, the chief priest. The genealogy gives us an unmistakable message about Ezra. Ezra is the descendant of Aaron. He came from the clan of the high priest. He came from a prominent family, and Ezra himself is a priest by birth. It does not mean Ezra was automatically the high priest of Israel. In fact, when Nehemiah recorded the name of the high priest of Jerusalem, Ezra was not in the list. As a descendant of Aaron, we are affirmed of Ezra's identity of a priest. But the calling of Ezra was not to be a priest. God called Ezra to be a scribe. Soon we realize Ezra was never recorded to serve as a priest in all Ezra Nehemiah. He had never participated in the ritual of offering. All Ezra Nehemiah talk about is his deep involvement as a priest. As we continue to read, verse 6 is very meaningful here. The name of Ezra was a common name during exile. People were exiled when they felt the despair and called for God's help. Ezra's name just means Yahweh is my help. Jehovah is my help. What makes it meaningful is the last sentence of verse 6 and verse 9. Both sentences confirm the arrival of Ezra to Jerusalem by saying, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him." Because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Then, for the first of his first month, he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem because the good hand of his God was upon him. A semi-paraphrased English translation would be, because God helped him. Because God helped him. When we say the hand of the God of God was upon him, it means God helped him. These two sentences were certainly echoing the name of Ezra loud and clear repeatedly. Ezra is God, the scribe. God help him. God help him to be the scribe. Ezra's identity may be a priest. His vocation is more than a straightforward priest. He has add-on. According to the tradition of Deuteronomy, his vocation would branch him off to a duty beyond the traditional priest. He is a scribe. They are responsible to copy and interpret the law of the Lord. It could be harder than an ordinary priest. We have just seen the requirement of a priest a little while ago. It is meticulous and tedious, bordering on boring. Proofreading after proofreading may find just a few errors. Then they have to do it all over again. One could have recopied a book several times before it is copied right. It is an unending task. at the same time. Close and frequent encounter with the word which let Ezra understand the will of God. As the son of a priest, Ezra could have just settled to be an ordinary priest, and it would have become his legacy. On the day the calling of God was upon Ezra, follow the calling is the right thing to do. There are times we believe we should follow a certain most trod path, a path prepared by our apparent identity. It could be a path prepared by my parents. It could be a path prepared by my own inclination. When I was young, my family decided I should become a doctor because I am pretty good with science and I'm exceptional with biology. So they figured out my future should be a doctor, a physician. Aside from the fact that I would never be able to study medicine, there's something else, the calling of God. Please fall back and consider more carefully again. Is this God calling for you? Is this the most trod path? Is the path God prepared for me? What vocation God has prescribed for you? True calling is your true identity. As we continue to read the finer details of verse 5 and verse 9, these two paragraphs have a way to describe Ezra's relationship with God's word. The first description was well-versed. The second description is devoted. In the Cantonese Sunday School, we spend 6 weeks to talk about the will of God. Vocation is a very important part of the will of God. Vocation and the will of God is never vague and unintelligent. All the more importantly, Ezra's response to his callings, his vocation, we know that Ezra did not turn away from God's calling. He also took a step forward. He was serious about his vocation. He was a well-versed, skilled scribe in the Word of God. After years of practice, he became a skilled scribe. More to that, he was devoted to the study of the word. It is not without purpose. He devoted to study such that he could teach the Israelite the word of God. Vocation is an identity. It is more than an identity. It's a devotion of life. A devotion to God. A devotion to make things right all through our lives. Remember this painting? In Jewish or Christian history, the contribution of Ezra is his contribution as a scribe. He made the Israelites to remember the word of God and be renewed. His contribution was not in the rebuilding of the temple, a tangible symbol, but was superseded 400 years later by the temple built by Herod the Great. In less than another 100 years, the last Greek temple was destroyed. However, the renaissance of the study of the word have never ceased. The word of God will never depart from us. The study of the word have never ceased since Ezra's day. There is no other catalyst but the devotion of the scribe Ezra. The whole tradition of Bible study, the whole tradition of interpreting the Word of God for our use, the interpreting of the Word of God that we may observe, we may follow, is the tradition of Ezra. Ezra was well versed in the law of the Lord and devoted to study and teach the law to the Israelites. This was his vocation. No monument like the temple. Nobody can see exactly what he has done. But what he has done is done in the heart of people. But also, does that mean he encountered no difficulties? Certainly not. When we fast forward to chapter 9 and 10, we will soon find out the study of the law led to a great distress. In today's term, it opened the Pandora's box, or it opened a can of worms. They will encounter the crisis of a delicate reunion of the Israelites. Ezra can interpret the word, but he has little means to resolve the problem. As the book of Romans taught us, the law let us know what is sin. The crisis is the story for next month. What I want to say is devotion does not necessarily mean everything will be just fine. Following our calling could bring us into a dilemma. But trusting God of his calling cannot be wrong. We could be in dilemma. We could encounter woes of difficulties. We may encounter some the problems that we are not capable to resolve. Ezra is our hero here. It doesn't mean he can resolve all problems. It only means he tried his best to follow God's word. We may not agree with the conclusion of Nisha, a Jewish German philosopher. Yet his observation is always keen. He said, "Only those who know the purpose of life can bear with almost all pains of life. Only those who know the purpose of life can bear with almost all pains of life." Ezra knew very well his purpose of life. He can bear with all the pains that came through with his devotion to his vocation. Knowing the law could bring pain in our lives because we have to follow the law meticulously. Take a moment to ponder. What is your vocation given by God? What is your calling? This is one important thing you want to have a grasp on. You want to have a handle on. Then devote your life in this vocation. Like God has remembered Ezra, God will certainly remember your devotion to your vocation. This is what God called you for. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us all here. We are brought to you to listen to your word. We are brought to you that we may understand what your word is all about and what your word means to us. Lord, we look up to you. Guide us. Help us in every way we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.